Inshallah, brief lesson of tafsir will take place. Let's participate, inshallah, beneficial. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم For this come closer, you're sitting in tafsir, inshallah, come a little bit closer. Just keep in mind those people who are performing salah, just come a little bit closer, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا ويوم نسير الجبال وترى الأرض بارزة وحشرناهم فلم نغادر منهم أحدا وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم أن لن نجعل لكم موعدا ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين إن شاء الله we'll continue with the next discussion in Surah Al-Kahf where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another example, parable last discussion we had was Allah Ta'ala mentioned وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ mention to them, narrate to them the example of two men. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned the similitude of two men. Now those two men, the ulama say either they were a real, you know, two brothers or two friends. Some say that this is just a parable, an example. But it seems to be that they were actually two real friends. Now when did they live? Again, there's difference amongst the scholars of tafsir, and as I mentioned last week, some say they lived in the time of the Banu Israel, some say it was in the time of the Prophet ﷺ himself. You had some of the chiefs of the Quraysh who this is referring to. But the point is, one of them had his entire sight, his gaze fixed on the Akhirah. on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the reward of the akhirah. He had no interest in the things of dunya, that's why he's ready to sacrifice everything. And the second person, he was someone whose whole, you know, outlook, perspective was dunya. All he understood, and you say dunya-centric, world-centric, all he understood was world. Money, fame, popularity. So wealth and popularity. So wealth, money, he valued that, you know. Financial, you know, strength. This was something very important to him. And secondly, contacts, people. The company that he kept, his popularity, his friend circle. How famous was he? How popular was he? How well-liked was he? These were two things that would occupy his mind. As long as he had these two things, he was happy. And because the other person didn't have either of those two things, he didn't have wealth, and neither was he known or well-known in higher-up circles, so this person looked down on him. Say, you don't have any money, and you don't even have a, you know, a strong friend circle or anything like this, so what's the point of your life? You've pitched everything, you've invested everything for an akhirah, a time, and a stage where you don't even know you'll get there. You don't even know if it exists. You've never seen it with your own eyes. So this was his argument. So straight after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now talks about the reality of the life of this dunya. People who say everything, you know, this is it. This life is it. There's nothing else. When I die, I will just become dust. I will just, you know, my body will decompose. There'll be nothing left of me. What is the reality of all of this? Dunya, the world. That people think this is it. Wealth, money, and, you know, nice food and nice clothes and, subhanallah, enjoyment. What is the reality of this? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compares it, gives a comparison of the life of this dunya with something. Allah ta'ala says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mention to them the example of the life of this dunya, hayatid dunya. What is the life of this dunya like? It's like water, kama'in. Now it's not just like water, but it's all this. Kama'in anzalnahu min as-sama'i fakhtalata bihi nabatu al-ardi fa asbaha hashiman tadruhu ar-riyah. That's it. All of this is what the life of the world is like. The life of this world is like water. The reality of the life of this dunya is like water, rainfall. Rain when it falls, kama'in like water, anzalnahu min as-sama', we make it fall from the skies. Rainwater, we make it fall from the sky. فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ Then the نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ, the vegetation, the crops, the natural, you know, plants which grow from the earth, they mix with that water. That water mixes with it. فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الْرِيَاحِ So initially what happens is the water comes, it mixes with the plants, and the plants become nice. And, you know, mashallah, lush and fertile and beautiful to look at, greenery and very attractive, and they give so much benefit. And then all of a sudden, فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الْرِيَاحِ All of a sudden they die and they dry out, and then the wind scatters them. There's nothing left of them. So it's like the example of a harvest, you know, like you have a field. A farmer has done all the hard work, he's tilled the land and he's, you know, sown the seeds and he's done the rest of the, whatever he has to do, and now everything is ready, ripe, the crops are ripe, they're ready to be cut and they're ready to be eaten and they're ready to be sold. All of a sudden a natural disaster comes and it kills all the crops. Everything is dead. You've seen when you go into a farm and everything is dead, the harvest, the crops are dead. They wither and they die and they dry out. And then what happens is they've got no strength anymore, so the wind just makes them fly here and there, here and there. So Allah Ta'ala says, this is the reality of the life of this dunya. Right now it's glamorous and it's beautiful and everything is nice, but a time will come for sure where there will be nothing left of it. Like that beautiful land, that farm that a person invests so much money in, resources in, and his whole health in, and his whole, you know, subhanAllah, the farmers who work, they're the hardest workers, isn't it? People who work on farms, very hard work. I mean, nowadays, you know, there's people who work on farms, but everybody has different types of jobs. Working in the farms is very hard work, very difficult work. And you put in so much time and effort, and then all you want is those crops to grow lush and fertile, and then they should be, you can eat them, you can sell them, you can make your living with them. But if a natural disaster comes, a flood comes, rain comes, it happens in Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, these countries, all of a sudden flood. In Bangladesh, when the season happens, they call it a Borna season, where it's a flood, destroys the crops, poor people whose whole livelihood depends on those crops, that's it, for 1 year now they've got nothing. Now they need to beg from people. People need to help them. And they worked so hard for that. But one natural disaster has wiped everything away. Allah Ta'ala is saying, this is the life of this dunya. You invest your health in it, your life in it, your wealth in it. You just want it to grow beautiful, 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 beautiful. A time will come when ye sab kuch khatam hone wali hai. Everything will finish. There will be nothing left behind. So don't. The point is, don't invest everything into it. Yeah? فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ. And then it turns into chaff, dried grain. تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ, that the wind scatter it. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over everything. And Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi mentions as well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times in the Quran mentions these ayat and gives the similarity of the life of this dunya with, you know, crops and harvest and with rainwater falling, because it's a very real kind of example. People understand it. It's a very simple example. Growth of crops and beautiful, lush, you know, fertile land, and then all of a sudden it dries and it's barren and it's not worth anything. It's a very real example that we can use to understand how. Because the sad thing is, naturally is created inside of the human being that we really feel that this thing is mine and I will hold it and it will belong to me, and when I die it will go to my children and then my children will have it. And they, you know, we have so much attachment with material things. So much attachment. It's a natural quality of the human being. They have so much attachment with material things. And that's why the clever person, intelligent person, is the person who realizes that these material things are nothing. In Urdu they say, hiche. It has no value. So they don't even worry about themselves. What am I going to eat for tomorrow and the day after, the week after? Allah will provide, Allah will give, Allah will give. What are my children going to get when I die? Allah will provide for them the way He provided for me. You know, a person has that mentality, the tawakkul mentality. Why am I investing my hopes and my assurances on this? This is nothing. This is a distraction. The pious people would stay away from wealth. The Anbiya alayhimus salam, if wealth was beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the richest person would have been Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wasn't. Allah ta'ala kept him poor. I was reading one of the stories of one of the great scholars of India, Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahimahullah. Someone came to him. He said, Shaykh, you know, you're a very pious man and you sit and you worship Allah, but your house is very small and it's not very big enough for your family. Please give me permission, I'll build a whole new house for you. Free of charge. You will never owe me any favors. Koi ehsaan main nahi jut launga. Main aapke liye free of charge ek ghar mein bana ke aapko, I'll make a house for you. He said, no, I don't want it. He said, you know what I really want? I want to live in a house where when it rains, my roof leaks. And at night time, it leaks from this side, so I lift my bistar, I lift my bedding, and I go to that side. And then it leaks from that side, so I take my bedding and I go to another side. And it leaks from that side, I take my bedding. The whole night, I move my bedding around trying to avoid the leaks. This is what I really want. The person was shocked. What kind of response is this? But this is how worthless. I don't want grand. Sayyidina Hassan Basri, rahimahullah, he says, I was a child. And I was suckled by Umm Salama radiallahu anha, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I was a child. How tall is a child? It's big. 6 years old, 7 years old. He said, when I would stand in the house of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I could touch the ceiling. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived his life. Nothing, you know, dunya, wealth. But sadly, we live in a day and age where people say, bhai, zarurat to hai na. You need it. Without saying it, we say it. Our heart has such, you know, greed and lalaj and such dependence on this. Okay, if I don't have it, I'm doomed. If I don't have this job, I will be finished. The heart's qibla is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart's qibla is the job, the boss. I have to be in the boss's good books. All the Muslims going to Christmas dinners. Why are you going to Christmas? Don't you know it's haram? If I don't go, I might not get that job that I need, you know, with the salary, with that. We forget all the rules out the window. Salah time, you're not going to read salah. If I go for salah, then I might not get the, you know, when they do the, what is it, feedback, or, you know, you're going to say, I missed out time, I didn't hit my targets. Everything is forgotten in the chase of more dunya. Everything is forgotten. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, whoever is content, Allah ta'ala gives them more. Whoever's goal and desire is akhirah, Allah gives them dunya, falls at their feet. Whoever's desire is dunya, That's it. I forget everything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps them so poor that they, you know, poverty is always in front of their eyes. It's going to finish. It's going to finish. My bank balance is just, it never goes higher. See, it never goes higher. Even if your bank balance is there, mashallah, I've earned 40k, 50k, 60k, 70k, natural illness Allah can give you. Someone passes away, some terrible disaster happens, bank balance is back down to here. Who are we competing with? Are we competing with Allah? Wallah, that's it. You're either going to give me money properly, halal way, or I'm going to go to haram. Wallah, if you don't give me money properly in a halal way, I'm going to go to haram. We go to haram, we're destroyed. And so many people have been destroyed before us. All the Fir'auns and all the Qaruns, they had wealth no one can even imagine. المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا المال والبنون wealth and children زينة الحياة الدنيا are the glitter, are the beauty of the life of this dunya. Wealth and children, everybody wants them. MashaAllah, nice, cute child, chubby cheeks, very nice, MashaAllah. Okay. Wealth, money, everybody likes them. There are things of beauty in this dunya. A person brags about them. Why, this is all connected to the last example where that man said, you've spent all your wealth for the akhirah, well, look at me, look at my wealth, and look at my family and my children. I've got so much wealth, I've got so much children that I've made nice and fat and chubby-cheeked with all the wealth that I have. You got nothing. Allah Ta'ala is rebutting that, answering that. Wealth and children as well. Children and wealth, they can become a source of your akhirah being made. But if a person just wants wealth and children, I've got a lot of children. My son is this doctor and barrister and lawyer. You know, one of the great scholars, Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Rahimahullah of India, he was sitting there and this well-educated person came in and he looked at his son and he goes, may Allah make your son a BA graduate. You know, he said, may Allah make your son a BA graduate. He said, why are you giving me lanat? Why are you giving me bad-du'a? He said, why are you giving me bad-du'a? Did you not find anybody else to give bad-du'a to that you were saying, oh Allah, make my son a BA graduate? He said, sorry, I said, did I say something wrong? He said, of course you said something wrong. You're telling me my son should be a chaser of the dunya. And Allah Ta'ala made that son a hafiz of Qur'an, a alim of deen, not a BA graduate. A poor man, not a rich man, but a very pious man. Thousands of people came to them, benefited from them, and they passed away. His name was Shaykh Talha Rahmatullahi Ali. Passed away a few years ago. They took this seriously. Don't make du'a for dunya. I don't want du'a for dunya. They gave them money, they would give it away. They say, why are you giving me this? I'm trying to get rid of this, you people are giving me more. If they would give them increase in salary, someone would offer, would come, if you go to this place to teach hadith, you'll get a higher salary. They will say, no, I'm fine here. Because now my intention for going there is the salary, not the teaching hadith. This is how serious they would take everything. Al-mal wal-banun zinatul hayati dunya. Wealth and children are just adornment of the life of this dunya. Yeah? However, those wealth and children can become a means of your akhirah being made. If a person uses the wealth in charity, a person uses wealth in avenues which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person raises their children in a way that that child becomes a means of sadaqah jariyah for them. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? When a person passes away, then, you know, his actions finish. In qata'a amaluhu illa min thalath, except from three avenues. One of them is waladun salihun yad'ula, a pious child who makes dua for him. Where is the child, pious child going to be, come from? He's not just going to pop out of the ground or grow in a tree. You have to make him, you have to build him. You have to train him, you have to do his tarbiyah, you have to rectify him. You have to create in the heart of the child the qualities of piety. You have to build that, develop that relationship of that child with the pious people, with the scholars. One of the great, you know, very rich man, he used to live in Makkah Mukarramah. In Makkah Mukarramah, a very rich man used to live, right? What his name? Malik something, right? Very rich man. But he used to sit with the scholars. And he desired, I've got so much wealth, but I don't want my son to be a wealthy man. I want my son to be a Allah wala, pious man. And he had a son, his name was Abdul Hafiz. Abdul Hafiz. So as soon as this Abdul Hafiz was born, he said, you're staying with the scholars. You're not sitting with the big circles of rich people and high-class people. You're sitting in the scholars. You're sitting on the floor. You're not going to sit on the tables. You're going to sit on the floor. You're not going to sleep on the big bedding. You're going to sleep on a mattress on the floor. His son became Sheikh Abdul Hafiz Makki Rahmatullahi Alayhi. A man who saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in dreams so many times, and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in daylight so many times. When a person realizes and decides, this son is for Allah. You know, Allah gave me a child, not mine. Allah gave me a child as an amanat, a trust. Allah gave me wealth as an amanah, a trust. Now Allah Ta'ala is going to watch what I do with that wealth and what I do with those children. If I say wealth is mine, blast it, go Turkey, go Morocco, go Barbados, go here, go there. Allah Ta'ala is going to take me severely to task for it. If I say wealth Allah has given it, I have to be very careful how I use it. I can't waste. I can buy the shoes that cost £100, I can buy the shoes that cost £10, I can use the rest of the £90 for some good work. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will appreciate that. Allah will give barakah. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give barakah. Similarly, children, my child, a person's child was born, one of our relatives. The child was born, the son was born, he picked up the son and said, my son is going to be a footballer. He's going to play for Manchester United. The relative of Ali said this. But the point is this, it's the mindset. Another person picks up and says, Ya Allah, this child is for Allah's sake. Oh Allah, this child. What did Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam's wife, Sayyidatuna Maryam alayhi salam's mom say? Ya Allah, if you bless us with a child, that child will be for your sake. Who did Allah Ta'ala turn her child into? Sayyida Maryam, the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Miracles were performed at her hands as she was still a baby. She was still a child. So it's all about the intention. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, مَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Wealth and children are adornment of the life of this dunya. However, if a person uses them properly, a person puts them or utilizes them for the sake of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, for the sake of Allah's deen, they can become means of your respect and honor in the akhirah. I'm making my child a hafiz of Quran. People come to a madrasa. MashaAllah, I've got Ashir's father sitting here. His son is in Hifz class. People come, make my son a hafiz. What does that mean, make your son a hafiz? I'm going to put him in the Hifz machine and press a button, he's going to be a hafiz and come out to the other side. It means you're signing up for a very challenging thing. I'm trying to make my son a hafiz. Very challenging, it's not easy. Every free time I have, sit, read, go over the surah, crying, I don't want to do this. It's challenging, but I know what I'm trying to do. This is my akhirah. On the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet ﷺ mentions, the parents of the hafiz will be made to sit on pulpits, manabir min noor, pulpits of light. They'll be made to wear crowns. And everybody will say, who are these people? And they'll be said, these are the parents of hafiz. So this is the reality. You know, a person has to have the drive, the zeal, that my son is for the sake of Allah. My daughter is for the sake of Allah. Whether they make it or not doesn't matter. You don't need to become extreme, that I'm going to make it or, you know, I'm going to die trying. I'm going to push you for the sake of Allah's deen. How much you move forward, now it's on you and taqdeer. Many buzurgani deen, pious people, their children didn't advance. Even Anbiya alayhim salam, a person came to me with his son. I remember, all my sons, they don't listen to me. They're like this, they like this, they like that. Elderly man, I went to his house and I looked at his sons and they were all grown men, all married with kids. I thought he was talking about children. You know, the way he came to me complaining, my sons don't listen to me, they're like this, please come to my house, have a word with them. I went to his house, I was about 17, 18 years old at the time. I went and I look at these grown men, and they've all got kids, and they're all looking at their father, and they're really annoyed with dad. I could see, he's lost their respect. So I advised him. I said, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, his son was not a Muslim. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam's son was not a Muslim, whereas Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam is from the five greatest prophets of Allah. Nothing is in your control. The Prophet ﷺ's uncle did not become Muslim. Nothing is in our control. All we can do is try PR muhabbat with love and affection. And as the hadith mentions, Bashiru wa la tunaffiru. Give good gliding, give glad tidings. Don't put people off. Yassiru wa la tu'asiru. Make things easy for people. Don't make things hard for people. That's the, you know, the message of love is the message that will do whatever it does. Beyond that, it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والباقيات المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا والباقيات الصالحات and those good deeds which remain forever خير عند ربك ثوابا they are better in terms of the reward that you will get from your Lord وخير أملا and they are a better thing for you to place your hopes in. You should not invest your hopes in wealth and this and that. It's all going to finish. Like what are you expecting from this lifeless thing? It only lasts till your grave. After that, it's finished. Before you even get to your grave, people are fighting over it. Baqiyatu salihat. The good things which remain are better for you in terms of the reward you will get from Allah for them and in terms of placing your hope on them. What are baqiyatu salihat? The righteous things that will remain. Many of the Mufassirun have mentioned Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu akbar, Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. These five statements. Subhanallah, Tasbih. Alhamdulillah, Tahmid. Allahu akbar, Takbir. La ilaha illallah, Tahleel. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Hawqala. These are the five statements that are known as Baqiyatul Salihat. Many narrations mention this. So that's a strong opinion. The Baqiyatul Salihat, what Allah Ta'ala mentions, is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Allah Ta'ala is saying, these are the things you should be investing your time and energy in. Read more of these. In Jannah, a person will go and he will smell a beautiful fragrance. Ya Allah, where is this fragrance coming from? It's coming from the guy who's on top of your Jannah. Ya Allah, what did he do to get to that Jannah? He said, Subhanallah, one more time than you. One more time. Subhanallah. How long did that take? Imagine the person who says it 10 times. Person who says it 20 times. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. What does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Kalimatani khafifatani ala al-lisan, thaqilatani fil mizan. There are two statements, very easy for the tongue to say, very heavy on the scale of deeds. Very easy for you to say, but on the scale of deeds on the day of Qiyamah, they'll be very, very heavy. What are they? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Subhanallah walhamdulillahi tamla'ul mizan. When a person says Alhamdulillah, the whole scale of good deeds becomes full. Subhanallah walhamdulillahi tamla'ani aw yamla'ani ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. And Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah, they fill the whole space between the heaven and the earth with good deeds. Subhanallah, the power of Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from Mi'raj, he met Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. What did Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam say? Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go and iqra ala ummatika minni salam. Go and say, give my salam to your ummah. And tell them that innal jannata qay'an. Tell them that Jannah is barren. There's nothing there. وَإِنَّ غِرَاسُهَا And the crops and the plants that grow in it are Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. So Baqiyatu Salihat, many ulama say this tasbih, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuous. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. A person walking to mashallah, so many tasbihs now, you can get the tally counter. Someone gave me, my mother-in-law gave me a tasbih that I have to charge. I thought, Subhanallah, the world is coming to you. This one, you have to charge it. Ajib, it's quite good, so I use it. I do charge it and I use it. But the point is this, so easy now. You're driving, you're work, you're doing some boring assignment on the computer. You could read, you know, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, hundreds of times, thousands of times. Durood Ibrahim, I remember I used to be working in this bakery a long time ago, and there's a brother that was working with me, and he would just, you know, everybody, it's a line, it was a very boring road, just working, packing cakes and this and that. And one brother, he'd just be quiet. He's a clean-shaven brother. He didn't look very religious to me. Just be quiet. And then one day he said to me, do you know what I do as a kid when I'm just standing here? He says, Monday to Thursday, I just read istighfar. He says, for 8 hours I read istighfar. He says, I read it thousands of times. And it's on Friday, I just read Durood Sharif. And he says, I read it, you know, tens of thousands of times. I thought, Ajib, I don't do that. I'm thinking about Iran, Tunan, you know, this, that. What's the purpose of my life? Such a boring job. And Subhanallah, the man is acquiring so many good deeds, and he's standing next to me. On the day of Qiyamah, where will he be? Where will I be? We were standing next to each other, but he will be there and I will be here. So this is the reality when a person takes it on board. Every second a person, when a person came and said, O Prophet of Allah, the actions of Shariat are too difficult for me. Inna sharai al-Islami qad kathurat alayya, fa'akhbirni bishayin atashabbathu bih. O Prophet of Allah, tell me something I can just hold on to. Everything else is too difficult for me. I can't keep these long fasts and stand up in tahajjud salah for a long period of time. Prophet ﷺ said, La yazalu lisanuka ratban min dhikrillah. Keep your tongue wet with the dhikr of Allah. Just do that. You don't have to put in a lot of energy. You don't have to put in a lot of effort. You don't have to go hungry. You don't have to cause your legs to ache. Just keep your tongue busy. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. If you weren't saying that, you'd be saying something else. You'll be talking about something else. Just say, Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, la hawla wa la quwwata. That's what I love about elders, our elders, mashallah. Even when standing up, going here, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, even moving around, mashallah, they have a lot of body ache. Every ache, with every ache, they take Allah's name. And there's even books written in which they mention what were the common phrases of the pious people.
Some pious people, when they would move from one place to another, they say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa. Some would say, Ya Allah Kareem, Ya Allah Rahim. And that was it, that was their dhikr. Whenever they would do one action or movement or something, they'd say, Ya Allah Kareem, Ya Allah Kareem, Ya Allah Rahim. So they were identified by that specific dhikr that they would do all the time. And on the day of Qiyamah, if they are identified like this in the dunya, imagine how they will be identified on the day of Qiyamah. Some ulama say, Baqiyatu salihat is any righteous deed. Good deeds, just do good deeds. These will be better with your Rabb. Rather than investing all your time and attention in dunya and earning money, do good deeds. Even earning money can be a good deed if a person does it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But any good deed is better for you with your Rabb, wa khayr, in terms of ajr and reward, wa khayrun amala, and in terms of something that you can aspire towards. Amal, kisi cheez pe bharosa rakhna, you know, umeed. Hoping for something. Allah Ta'ala is saying the best thing that you can hope for is your good amal. Everything else is false. It may happen, it may not. My children might become into some mashallah amazing thing, or they might not. I'm going to work hard to get this job that pays me a huge salary, or I might not get it. I'm not in control of it. I'm going to buy this house that costs, or I might not get it. One thing that will never let me down in terms of my hopes is good deeds. Just do good deeds, just do good deeds. Dhikr of Allah and any other good deeds. Allah subhanahu, are we all ready to do this inshallah? Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Inshallah, carry on. This not finished this part. We'll carry on next week. Inshallah. Subhanallah. Yuhani. Subhanallah. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.